We're doing the Navi Yeshaya, after what they call the 44th chapter, the 21st Pasuk. The Navi turns to Am Yisrael and he says, Zechor Eile Yaakov. I want you to remember Jacob, the people of Israel, even when you're not living up to your potential, I want you to remember V'Yisrael Ki Avdi Ata. I want you to remember, you're my servant. I have expectations from you in this world. Yitzalticha Eved Li Ata. I formed you. I designated you as my servant. Yisrael Lo Tinasheni. Israel, don't forget me. The key question in all of our life is, are we cognizant of Hashem's presence? It really defines everything we do. I had a thought that kept bothering me. I spent the last 10 days by my grandfather's bedside, and he kept telling me what a wonderful life he had. And I know that's not true.
By normal standards.
I mean, most of his family was murdered. His first wife was murdered. Every position he had fell apart. They sent him to California to build a bank. And everything was set up. He moved his whole family to California. And then they decided they're not building the bank. He found himself without a livelihood. He took a course in entering the stock market, did great, entered the stock market in the Lindsay era when you couldn't succeed. Everything just kept going down. Every corner he turned, things backfired on him. One of his children once said, Dad, I got to get these sneakers that everyone has. I got to get these sneakers. So finally he gave him the money. The kid went to get the sneakers and lost the money. He came back home and he says to him, Look, I understand you lost it, but it was a week's salary. I don't have any more money to give you. That was that week's salary. That's what he made in a week, a pair of sneakers. And he's lying there on his deathbed telling me, I had such a blessed life. God gave me so many blessings in my life. And I'm standing there thinking, so many things went wrong in your life. So many things just went wrong in your life. So many turns you took just fell apart one after another. And he's standing there telling me I had the most blessed life. And then I said to myself, that's because his whole focus, he spent his last days singing, a Jew has to be fearful of Hashem and then his whole life is worth it. That was the song he was singing as he was passing away. Those were his final words. When you live a life in the awe of Hashem, then all of life is worth it. And I sat there thinking, you know, he can't fake it anymore. He at 97, you're not with it enough to fake it. And then I said, yeah, that's why he was able to say it. This that the Navi is demanding of Am Yisrael, remember you're my servant, it can take every destruction and make it into a process. I'm a servant, I'm in a process, I'm working for him. If this is what I have to do now, that's what I'll do now. If I have to do something else, now I'll do that now. There's a concept of how I approach all of life. So when the Navi says to Am Yisrael, Zechor Eile Yaakov, I want you to remember these points, he's telling us a formula for life. The formula is, Ki Avdi Ata, you are my servant. That's your job. That's your mission. And Yitzalticha Eved Li Ata, I formed you to be my servant. That's what you're here for. Yisrael Lo Tinasheni, Israel, don't forget me. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch begins with. This is the constant question in our life. Do we remember Hashem? Or do we focus on what we would like and forget Hashem? Machiti cha'av b'sha'echa. Hashem says, I've wiped away your transgressions even when they were rebellious. Even when they were spiteful. I wiped them away as a passing cloud. I wiped away your transgressions that were in error, your chet. Those that you did in error, I wipe them away like the cloud as well. Shuva elai ki ge'alticha. Return to me, says the Ribbon Shel Olam. I am your Redeemer. And that's another phenomenal concept which we as human beings can adopt as well. A woman once said to my wife, she said, a difficult thing in marriage is that your husband is the one you're upset at, and he's the one you want should comfort you, and he's the one that upset you. So he's both. So the Ribon Shalom says, I'm your redeemer, return to me. In other words, I know what you did was against me, but I'm willing to forgive you, and I want you back. Rav Kook writes a concept in the beginning of Avot HaTshuvah, which is really a concept that the Navi Yeshaya spoke about. We Ashkenazim read. Sephardim don't have this custom. The Ashkenazim have a custom that on a fast day at Mincha, we read a Haftarah. Haftarah from Yeshayahu. And the Haftarah is about doing tshuva. And the first concept the Navi says about tshuva, and this is how Rav Kook opens his book about tshuva, Orot HaTshuva, is the faith that one has to have in the possibility of tshuva. In order to do tshuva, we have to first be confident that it's a possibility. One of the main reasons that people don't do tshuva on a great level is because they don't have a great faith in the ability to do that tshuva. The basic fundamental concept is you can do it. And so the Navi keeps reiterating that. We stunt our own growth because we don't believe in it. That's why Rav Kook begins his book on tshuva with the great faith one must have in the ability to do tshuva. Going after the Navi Yeshaya. I don't think he writes it there, but that's really where the concept begins. The Ribon Shalom says, I want Gealticha, I am your Redeemer. So that this concept of having faith in the power of tshuva is the first concept. And part of what makes it counterintuitive to us is the same concept that that woman said. He's the one, and he's the one. The Ribon Shalom is the one we transgressed against. And against our inclination, we have to remind ourselves that he says, I will wipe away your transgression. Sometimes it feels like, but I'm the one who sinned against you. How are you going to forgive me? You know what I did? No, Hashem says. That's why Hashem says, Ki gealticha, I am your Redeemer. Hashem says, yeah.
I mean, it also says, Poked Avon.
Right?
Remembers.
Yeah. What does Rashi say? If you don't do tshuva, Rashi right away says that. It was Chol HaMoed Sukkos. I was walking with my wife through Mea Shearim. All the stores were closed. We were on our way to the Kotel. No one's on the block. It's pretty dead when you walk down the main street on Chol HaMoed because all the stores are closed. And this huge guy starts heading our way. We had a baby carriage, one baby, and the guy looks at me and says, can I ask you a question? So I was a little bit scared. So I asked my wife to, you know, the guy's twice my size. And he asks me, in a broken English with a heavy Russian accent, he says, can you go back? So I ask him, where am I supposed to go back to? So he says, no, can I go back? So I said, where do you want to go back to? So he says, and he's crying. So I'm thinking this is a charlatan. Okay, I have to pay attention if he's going to try to grab the purse or what. What's going on here? And he says to me, can a person always go back to God? So I said, yes. So he said, how do you know? So I'm still thinking, is he trying to grab something? You know, I'm wondering whether I should be focused on the conversation or on my wife's purse. So I said, let's go to the side and talk. I want to be focused on him. Right? So I said to him, you know, ask yourself, Hashem gives us life. And if Hashem's whole purpose was that after you transgressed, then you're finished, then why does He continue giving us life? He continues giving us life. He says, I want you to come back. I'm giving you a chance. The meaning of life is you have a chance. You have an opportunity. And Hashem says, I want you back. I said, if you're asking me, my understanding was from his question that telling him it says so in the Torah would not necessarily convince him. So he stood there, and this was our philosophical discussion for about 3 minutes, revolving around this idea that Hashem gives us this gift, and he had a hard time wrapping his head around it. He says, but I can't undo what I did. That's true. The idea of tshuva is a gift. Meaning, from a human being's perspective, if your neighbor hurt you, you tell your neighbor, fix it. Can you fix it? You can fix it. What does Rava say when Barhedya, the dream interpreter, causes the untimely passing of Rava's wife? Rava tells him, I could forgive you for everything else. I can't forgive you for causing the passing of my wife. And then Rava proceeds to curse him and causes his death. A very vicious death. But then again, he caused Rava tremendous suffering. Because Rava's saying, you can't fix what you did. You can't undo what you did. And yet we stand before the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, you can fix what you did, but we can't undo what we did. What does that mean, I can fix it? Hashem says, Gealticha, I'm your Redeemer. This is a phenomenal gift. It's not a concept that the human being has an easy time connecting to. We have to keep reminding ourselves of that gift and the tremendous power that gift has. That the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I want you to do tshuva, and you can do it. Again, it's not an obvious concept. It's a phenomenal gift. And the more one can connect to the concept, the more one creates the potential within oneself to really do tshuva. You can't do tshuva if you don't believe it's going to work. Tshuva begins with the idea, this can work. And that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Zechor Eileh, I want you to remember, I designated you, the Jewish people, as my servants, and I'm willing and I want to wipe away your transgressions. Yes?
So, essentially what Rabbi is saying is that, based on the concept that we're talking about, that there is a finish line when it comes to tshuva, that I'm not sure if it's spelled out exactly where that finish line is, and obviously that's subjective, so whatever the situation, whatever the tshuva level, whatever each person is in tshuva, but sometimes when you think of doing tshuva, being that you can't undo what you did and it's done, but here's God saying, but you can do tshuva, meaning which means to say that in life, at least it seems that way, which is very difficult to conceptualize, but there is that finish line, but when you pat of tshuva is complete. But if that, does that mean by accomplishing the, getting to that finish line, what does it then mean with regards to that which you did that can't be undone? You know, there's a disconnect.
It's a long answer, which I don't know that we can go into now. Let's say, it deserves a long answer, but I'm going to try to give a short answer. There are two components to the answer. Number one is that sometimes we have to be proactive in making amends and fixing what we did wrong, meaning if a person, let's say, took money away from people illegitimately, so then they'll find ways to give back to people. A person took money and he doesn't know who he took from. He had illegal. He had illegitimate scales. So then he'll donate things for the public good so that somehow eventually those people will get benefit. He'll have a way of paying them back. So on one level, we do have to be proactive to try and make amends. And on another level, we have to do the best we can. And at the end of the day, there's an orchestrator. There's one above who, when he sees that we try, he helps us succeed.
But is the passing of the finish line something that we are conscious about? Okay, the tshuva is complete. I made full amends for...
I think so. You see, David HaMelech was. You see, there does exist such a concept.
We just know that in hindsight, because of the Shetanah.
Well, David was told by Hashem, but it certainly seems that a person can reach that point. Because in the laws of tshuva, it certainly gives us an indication that a person can. Sounds that way. That's a proof of. That's not... Okay.
David didn't know that he was forgiven. Only in the time of Shlomo HaMelech.
I think what the Gemara says is that David knew, but Hashem wasn't willing to publicize it to others. In David's lifetime. Okay. The Navi leads from here into the great redemption. Ranu Shamayim. Even the heavens will rejoice. Ki asa Adonai. For Hashem has done his end of things. He has redeemed Israel. Hariyo tachtiyot aretz. The depths of the land, the center of the earth, will give song. Pitzchu harim rina. The mountains will burst forth in joy. Yar v'chol eitz bo. The forest and all its trees. Kigal Adonai Yaakov. For Hashem has redeemed Jacob. He's bringing us back. Uv'Yisrael yitpar. And through the redemption of Israel, Hashem will be blessed and glorified as the nations of the world witness the redemption and have to stand back and say, wow, Hashem is showing that He is active in this world. So the Navi goes from the tshuva process leading into the redemption of Israel. It certainly seems from the Navi that the two are intertwined. And this was for many centuries the concept that led the Jewish people, that our redemption would come as a result of our teshuvah. It's very hard, to my mind, today that we see a return to Zion that came from the Holocaust. I don't understand how we can say that there was a teshuvah that happened then that led to this redemption. There definitely are many things about what happened in the last century or two that I don't understand. But I certainly don't know, when we look from an historical perspective at the period that Israel came back to Israel, I don't know what we could point to and say, look, there you have the tshuva process, and that led to the return to Zion. I don't know of such a thing. Different times, different things. You're right. It can be all. Right.
There are other explanations as to why return to Zion started with the Jubal.
It could also be that the return to Zion was one part, and the redemption that's described here is another level, which we will only reach as we evolve in the tshuva process. There certainly has been a renaissance and an awakening among the Jewish people that I don't think existed ever in Jewish history. Meaning, after the founding of the state, after the Six-Day War, Machon Meir, I'm saying what's happening now, I don't think the land of Israel ever had, maybe in the days of Shlomo, maybe in the days of Chizkiyo, but it's been millennium. It's been thousands of years since there's been such a growth, widespread growth of Torah and Chazarah B'Tshuvah. And so it could be that the redemption that we're hearing about here is yet to come. It's not yet been fulfilled. That could be.